that better? Guilty. Sorry about that. Helps if I turn it on. Yeah, sorry guys. Describes the relationship of a father and son, a father and a daughter. And that's an intimate relationship that parents share with their children. And a lot of time that you spend together getting to know one another. And when we're alone with God, we draw closer to Him. We have the opportunity to share our heart, to share our experience, to share our joys, to share our fears, our failures. That intimate relationship with Father, Abba Father, Daddy. These past weeks I've been speaking about the pursuit of God's presence, how we have to be intentional in that pursuit, and the importance of investing our time and effort in that relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I've been using this illustration over the past 3 weeks of Bill Hybels of how full is our bucket. This vessel, the Bible describes us as vessels of God. And how full is that vessel? Are we running on empty? Are we low? Are we half full, half empty? Are we full and overflowing with the Holy Spirit, with God's power and presence in our own experience? In this life, in the 21st century, there's so many demands on our time. We often feel overwhelmed, overscheduled, and overextended. Often as a result of this, we can get in the dangerous habit of neglecting our time, our quiet time with Father. Our lives don't get easier through this neglect. In fact, they become more difficult. Doesn't get easier. And instead of casting our cares upon Him, because He greatly cares for us, we carry these burdens. We carry these pressures. We carry these frustrations and responsibilities. We become overextended, anxious, and under pressure. This can even affect our sleep patterns, which increases a downward spiral. I think we've all been there at some time or other in our life and experience. But unfortunately, these pressures don't go away. But they continue to build up inside of us. And when we fail to release that pressure by spending time with Father, by spending time alone with God, and receiving His supernatural peace, it eventually will explode. And it always explodes the least time we expect it. The worst time. And every time there's an explosion, there is damage. And the damage we usually do to those we love the most, those closest to us that experience this. The loved ones suffer. The glory of God no longer lives in temples built by the hands of man, but in vessels made by the hands of God. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. We've been purchased with a price. Will we ever fully comprehend the truth and reality that the Creator God, who spoke this universe and creation into being, dwells inside of us? Because we don't feel worthy, and we're not, because it's grace. But I don't think we will ever fully comprehend this side of heaven, the truth of that reality. But we can try. And I hope by the end of today, we understand it a little bit more. Today, I'm going to be speaking about spiritual roadblocks. About roadblocks that prevent us entering in to God's presence and prevent His Spirit manifesting in such a way. Spiritual roadblocks, barriers and hindrances that stop us experience the fullness of God's presence and power. Barriers we put up consciously or unconsciously. Are there things in our life that are not pleasing to God? Things that hinder God's presence. Things that block our fellowship with God. Block our prayers and block our hearing His voice. And God forbid, block people from coming to know Jesus. Filling our buckets takes intentionality and effort on our part. It is something that each one of us is responsible for doing. This is something that the pastor can't do, your friends can't do, your wife, your husband, your brother, your mother. It's something that we are responsible for. What are the things that hinder us? Each man, each person knows his own struggles. What are the things? What are our weaknesses? Lord, I pray that you would reveal what we need to yield to you this day and what needs to be brought into the light. In Jesus' name, I pray. This is John chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. In the temple courts, he, which is Jesus, found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting on tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove them from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and he overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a marketplace?" Many years ago, when we lived in the UK, both Myra and I went to a Christian conference in Minehead, Somerset, which is the southwest of England. The location was a holiday park and it had excellent facilities. The event lasted approximately a week, and the evening came for the ladies only meeting. And next morning at breakfast, there was a rumor going around. A lot of giggling and a lot of laughing amongst the staff at this camp. And apparently, the server overloaded when all the men switched on the porn channel. While their wives were in conference. Now, I don't know if that was a vicious rumor or that was the truth, but God knows. And that's quite shocking if that is true. What a witness that would be to those people working in the camp. Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. Jesus was angry at the sin in his Father's house, and he was ruthless in his attempt to cleanse that temple. And we have to be of the same mindset. We need to get angry about our sin And we need to drive that sin out. And it starts with a decision, friends. And the Bible calls it repentance. And to repent means to turn around, to have a change of opinion. Are there any secret sins in our lives? Do we have any locked rooms in our mind where the Holy Spirit is not welcome? Secret places where old memories are stored on VHS tapes that we can play back, that we can fantasize about. Old girlfriends, old boyfriends, old memories. Where do we go when we drift away? What do we think about? Are there any secret places that we decompartmentalize in our own life and experience that God is not welcome? Where we willfully don't allow Him in? Pornography is a very big temptation and a real threat, and is very not often spoken about from the pulpit. And I really prayerfully considered what I was going to say this morning, but I felt compelled to share the dangers of that. When I was young, it's a lot more difficult to access pornography. But I'm old. But in this day and age of technology, with internet and broadband speeds, fiber optic cables, tablets, phones, devices, it's available everywhere, and it's a real problem, and it's a very big temptation. There is software available if you want it. X3, Covenant Eyes, NetNanny are just a few. Safe Eyes is another one to help you make a decision not to look at that stuff. Even unintentionally, you can get banners on your computer that may lead you into temptation. There's certain software that can stop that and prevent that. It's a great idea to install this filtering for your family into your browsers, just by accident if they search for the wrong word. Parents, I think this is something that I'm sure that you do, and if you don't, that you really need to look at on your children's phones, tablets and computers to set up these filters on the internet browsers. Brothers, sisters, do you have a close friend that you can talk to, either in person or online, that we can confess our sins to each other and be real with and pray for each other? I thank God that I have friends in my life that close, that I can be transparent and they can ask me them hard questions and I can ask them hard questions. Gossip. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We can either choose to build up or we can choose to tear down. John Maxwell says leadership is influence. But when does influence become manipulation? When we want to get our own way. We've got to come under the sovereignty of the Lord. He is in control. It says in Proverbs that gossip are like choice morsels that go down to the very inner parts of our bellies, of our soul. And the tongue, very small part of the body, but a very dangerous part of the body. Forest fires are set by a small spark. We can do a great deal of good, or we can do a great deal of damage. Gossip is very dangerous. And I'm not only talking to the ladies, guys. It affects everybody. And I think the most dangerous thing, well, when I hear people sharing gossip through a prayer request. Brothers and sisters, you shouldn't do this. I think this is the worst type, that we wrap it up to be holy and righteous, and in fact we're using them words to tear brothers and sisters down. God forbid. People are looking to us from outside the church to see if we're any different, to see if Christ is a reality in our experience. God forbid that our lives would be a bad witness for him. Idols. Are there anything in our lives that we put before God, that we worship, that we adore, that we like? What do we spend our money on? Look at the bank bill at the end of the month, the credit card bill. Where's it going? Like the hymn sings, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Don't place our trust in our money, but in the Lord above. Riches have wings and they fly away. I've seen it. It's happened to me. I've seen it with my own eyes, not in my own, only my own experience. I've seen it in business colleagues and friends. Have we learnt contentment with little and a lot? The secret Paul talks about of this contentment. Guys, I know this is tough, and I don't mean to be. But if these are blocking us from experiencing the living God, I'm compelled to talk about it. I'm compelled. Pride. I really don't know why we become proud, but it's a constant danger, and we have to keep it in check. Pride in knowledge. Pride in nationality. Pride in accomplishments. Pride in anything, it raises its ugly head, and we have to keep it in check. Unforgiveness, holding grudges. Maybe you've been hurt, maybe you've been betrayed, maybe you've been slandered, maybe you have a right reason to hold a grudge. But the Bible tells us if we do not forgive, we won't be forgiven. And in the light of our forgiveness, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In all the terrible things that we've ever done, in that light of God's mercy and through his blood, we can't hold a grudge. And I know that when you've been deeply hurt, either physically or emotionally, these are real. And it's not forgetting about that. But in the light of Christ's sacrifice for us, it's choosing to forgive like he's forgiven us. Men, how are you treating your wives? Are we loving them like Christ loves the church? That's some challenge. Don't laugh. My wife's laughing at me. God forbid. Wives, how are you treating your husbands? Do you respect them? Men, love your wives. Wives, respect your husband. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who of the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Oops, I read the wrong verse. There we are. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. All these sins that pull us in the wrong direction, they stop us entering God's presence. They make us feel unworthy. They put us off repenting. We think that carrying that guilt around an extra day or two, somehow God will be happier when we come to him, because we can't face ourselves. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. This stuff that entangles us, that's what sin does. Have you ever been fishing with a net? Them big fishing nets, have you seen them when they pull them in? Have you ever been fishing when it gets all tangled up? That twine and that net and them cables. That's what sin does. It tangles us up. We don't know the right way, the back from the front. It encourages us to throw off that sin. That sin that so easily entangles us. Let's throw it off. And friends, through the grace and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power to throw it off because of what he's done upon that cross. We heard about it in Romans. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. No condemnation. And of throwing that sin off and looking to people to forgive when they've wounded us, hurt us, and we may be justified. But in the light of that and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross, we've not suffered as to giving up our blood. So we're encouraged to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? We come to God as we are. We ask him to shine his light in those dark places, and we all have them. We all have them, friends. That we would be washed in his blood, cleansed inside out, and make a decision to leave that stuff behind us, that stuff that entangles us, that stuff that stops us fully experiencing the power and intimacy of our Father, and stops our cups being overflowing, stops the light shining through us, that we may be clean vessels, for His glory. And people will know when you've been with Jesus. You don't have to say a word. It shines. People know. And unfortunately, they know when you haven't. So, the conclusion of the matter. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance, the race that's marked out for us. Let us run it, not looking back over faults and failures, fears and regrets and doubts, but moving on, moving forward as brothers and sisters in the Lord. It tells us, you'll know who my disciples are because you love each other. And that is something that we have to do through God. I'm a slug. I found out a long time ago I'm too selfish to love anybody but myself. Are we there yet? But through His Spirit, when we yield, He does it through us, that we don't have to try. It flows. Now, true, it's easier to get on with some people than others. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about love. The love that flows from God for each other. And we're going to spend eternity together. So let's make a great start of it. Amen. Thank you.